very much. So we're holding on Chof Zayin Omud Beis by the Mishnah. From here on, for about the next 20 blocks, we're going to be dealing with the details of the concept of piggul. So we've touched on piggul before. This is where piggul is where the person doing one of the main avodas of the korban, so the four avodas that we've been talking about also all this time, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. With piggul, you also have it can take place during the bruning of the emurim. In any case, if he has a thought that some part of this korban is going to be consumed beyond the proper time. So it can be the it can be consumed by a person, it can be consumed by the mizbeach, it can be, we'll talk about eventually what happens if he has in mind for it to be consumed by an animal. So say, for example, so during the shchita, for example, he had in mind that he's going to be doing the zrika, which is considered the consumption of the blood, because at that point the mizbeach consumes the blood, in effect. So if he has in mind that he's going to be sprinkling that blood tomorrow, then the korban becomes piggul. Similarly, for example, if doing any of the avodas he has in mind, and doing any of the four avodas, as well as also doing the bruning of the fats on the mizbeach, if he has in mind that he's going to be eating part of the animal outside the time, then at part of the korban outside of time, then also it becomes piggul. So the Torah talks about piggul in two places, in Parshas Tzav and Parshas Kedoshim. We're going to go through in detail in the Gemara the two relevant psukim and what we learn from each one of them. So that's piggul. Throughout we're using the word machshava, but again they have the same machlokas we've shown him that we've touched on before at the beginning of the sechta, whether machshava in this context actually means just thinking it, or whether it means that he has to speak it out. Rashi and Tosfos hold that it means he has to speak it out, but it could be a problem. The Mishnah Lamelech learns in the Rambam, and the Sefer Achinuch also learns this way, that just thinking it is enough. You have to ask, because he just thinks that, how would anybody know? The answer would be that afterwards he tells them. There's actually a relevant Gemara in Gittin about that, whether you have to believe him or not. In any case, let's set that aside. The point is, there is some way of knowing. Obviously, the person himself would know what he was thinking. So if he ate this korban, then even if he didn't actually follow through with his thought, nevertheless, the korban has become piggul. There is now, the Mishnah is going to be contrasting it with, also we've touched on before a few times in the Masechta, this thought of piggul is also called chutzuzmana, that he has in mind to do something with the consumption of the korban beyond the proper time. Then you also have what's called chutzumakoymoy, where he plans to do something with the korban outside the proper place, such as to sprinkle the blood outside the azara, or to eat the meat of kodshe kodshim, which have to be eaten in the azara. He has in mind to eat them outside the azara. That kind of thing is called chutzumakoymoy. It's called machshevas makom. It's also called chutzumakoymoy. The Mishnah is going to point out the contrast to us that chutzumakoymoy is only possible, a person is not chayav kodesh, where it only malchus, whereas piggul is chayav kodesh. Why the difference? So there's an interesting vote from Reb Shamson of Paul Hirsch on it that explains that when a person has machsheves mokim, he's thinking to bring the korban in the wrong place. It's bad, of course. It makes the korban possible. But in a way, it's like not as bad as it could have been. He's basically saying that, fine, I don't want to have anything to do with the bismikdash. I don't want the avoda of this korban to take place in the bismikdash. I want to do it elsewhere. On the other hand, piggul, in a way, is worse, because what he's doing, in effect, he's saying, fine, I'm going to do it in the Bais HaMikdash, but I'm going to do it my way. I don't care about Hashem's way of doing it in the Bais HaMikdash. I'm going to make my own rules for how it's going to be in the Bais HaMikdash. That's serious enough to warrant kares. You have a popular expression, I think there's also something the Friedrich had ever said along these lines. It's better to be on the outside looking in than on the inside looking out. So therefore, so like here you have, the person is on the inside looking out, but he's saying, in other words, I don't care. Hashem said this korban has to be offered by such and such a time, and has to be eaten by such and such a time, but I don't care. I'm going to be doing it right here in the Azara, but I'm going to make up my own rules for when it can be eaten. Then that's much worse than anything else, and therefore that gets kores for eating from such a korban. So the Mishnah starts off. And keep in mind, of course, the shechita can be done by anybody, as we've discussed all along. So lizrik domi bachutz, he plans to sprinkle the blood outside the azara. So not even all the blood, just some of it. Lahakter emurim bachutz, so he plans to burn the emurim outside the azara. So not even all of them, just some of them. He plans to eat the meat of it, if it's a korban that's meant to be such as a shlomim or a chatas or what have you. Eventually we'll talk about in the Gemara what happens if he plans to eat part of an oilo, which is not supposed to be eaten anyway. We'll get into that. Anyway, he plans to eat the meat outside the proper place, so outside the Azorah for Kodshim Kodshim and outside Yerushalayim for Kodshim Kalim. So again, not even all the meat, just the kazayas of it. Is enough to make it possible. The thought of doing that, chutz l'makomo, for just for kazayis of the meat, is enough to make the problem possible. Oy lechol kazayis me'ura al yabachutz. Or another possibility is he has in mind to eat a kazayis of the skin of the alya outside. The alya is the fat tail. There are certain breeds of sheep. They exist nowadays also that store a lot of extra fat in their hindquarters and in their tail. Those are the kind of sheep that you would bring as a korban, and the Torah says, therefore, the fat tail is a delicacy, it's something special, it's part of the good quality stuff in the animal, and therefore you have to bring it to Hashem, called chaylev Hashem. Mind you, the fat in the alya is not actually considered chaylev, as in it would be also to eat. It is, in fact, mutter to eat in a holden animal. But in Kodshim, it's offered on the Mizbeach. Not everything that's offered, usually you tend to think that the things that are offered on the Mizbeach are exactly what we're not allowed to eat from an animal, the various fats and whatnot, but in fact, it's not so. All the chaylev, it's true, is offered on the Mizbeach, but you also have various things that are not chaylev, such as the kidneys and the diaphragm, and here we're saying the alya, which are offered on the Mizbeach, but they're not chaylev, and you would be allowed to eat them from a chulin animal. Anyway, in all these cases, the Mishnah said, v'chutz, he plans to eat this kazayas of the skin of the alya outside the proper place. In all those cases, possible for anybody. Kodesh, the korban is possible, but there's no kodesh for eating it. Even if he does, in fact, eat it outside the appropriate place, he's not high of kodesh for it. He's just getting malchus for having eaten from a possible korban. On the other hand, Lizrik, Domo the Macher, but if he plans to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, Miktas Domo the Macher, or even some of the blood tomorrow, or he plans to burn the emurim on the Mizbeach tomorrow, or even just some of the emurim tomorrow, or he plans to eat some of the meat of it tomorrow. Now, here we're not talking about a shlomim, because a shlomim is meant to be eaten for 2 days, so we're not talking about a shlomim as well as the chur and nice, so we're talking about the various other korbanos that are meant to be eaten only that day. So here he has in mind with one of those korbanos that he's going to eat the meat tomorrow, in the case of a shlomim or a bechor or a meiser, it would be if he plans to eat it on the third day, whatever. Or kezayis nubsar lamacho, he plans to eat a kezayis of, he's doing one of these avodas planning to eat a kezayis of the meat tomorrow or whatever outside the time. Or lech a kezayis me'ur alya lamacho, or he plans to eat a kezayis of the skin of the alya tomorrow. In all those cases, pigle, chayav another person, in all those cases, this is machsheves zman, and therefore the korban becomes pigle, and anybody who eats from it, even now, even before any of those things were actually done, is going to be chayav koris. There is an interesting point, by the way, in this connection, the Gemara is eventually going to bring a drosha of the relevant psukim, from which we learn the korban becomes actually pigle only after the zrika has been accomplished. So it has to go through, it has to leave, the various avodas are done, and then doing one or more of those avodas, he had a thought of machsheves hazman, which made it pigle, and only then is a person going to be chayav koris for eating it. The Mishnah Melech actually brings up an interesting question. What about if he eats from it? What about if he does eat from it before the zrika? It won't be pigle, but will it be posel? In other words, the fact that he had a machsheves hazman, and now we haven't yet done the zrika, and we go ahead and he goes ahead and eats from it, well, it won't make him chayav koris, granted, because not really considered pigle yet. But will he at least be high malchus for eating a possible korban? The Mishnah Melech discusses both possibilities in the Anachronim deal with then the Reb Chaim Ozer in particular brings a proof in one of his Chuvas that it would in fact be possible and the person would be high korban, would be high malchus for eating it before the Zrika. So the Gemara starts off. Now, when we said that we singled out in both parts of the Mishnah, we singled out the skin of the alya. So let's analyze that point about that skin. Svaruha, to begin with, to start the discussion, the Chachmei HaYeshiva figured that alya ka alya dummy, that we should consider the skin of the alya is considered exactly like the alya itself. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains that it would mean as far as burning it on the Mizbeach. Now, you have like this. When you bring a korban, part of the process, after you shech the animal, you sprinkle the blood, etc. After that, what you do is you skin the animal and you cut it up. Most of the skin gets removed. The only part The only part that it says clearly that you don't skin is the head. You offer it together with the skin on it. All the other ones, they peel off the skin first. So now we begin the discussion by assuming that with the alya also you would leave the skin on it. And the reason is that Rashi explains because further on we're going to talk about that the skin of the alya is very soft. Usually the skin of an animal is not edible. It's too hard. Too tough, but the skin of the alya is soft and edible, and further on the omelet, we're going to bring some relevant Mishnah and Fulin that says that it's actually considered like flesh. So now, when we talk about when a person is, so Rashi explains, at this point, we assume that the same way as with a shlomim, the same way as normally you would eat the skin of the alya, together with the alya, because it's soft and chewable, the same way, if you bring the shlomim and you're offering the alya on them as there, it sounds like you would also offer the skin as well, because it would be considered like the flesh of the alya. If that's the case, though, the problem is, what does the Mishnah mean? That if he has in mind, with a machsheves zman, to eat a kazayis of the skin of the alya, that we said that during the bruning of the emurim, when he's doing any of the avodas, what he's doing is then, he's saying that something which ought to be offered on the mizbeach, he instead plans to eat. Does that in fact make it pickle? Shouldn't it be that, isn't it going to be that pigul is only when he plans that something that was supposed to be consumed by the Mizbeach is in fact going to be consumed by the Mizbeach, but at a later time, or that what's supposed to be consumed by a person is going to be consumed by a person, but at a later time. Well, here you have, so they want to ask, well, from the Chashim, ask the Mizbeach for other. Here the problem is, he seems to be taking something which ought to be offered on the Mizbeach based on our assumption that the skin of the Alya is considered part of the Alya, so it's something that ought to be offered on the Mizbeach, and instead he's having in mind that a person is going to eat it. Does that in fact make it pickle? Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, yeah. Amani Rabbi Eliezer. As a matter of fact, yes, our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says exactly that. It is possible to make a korban pigul or posel by mixing up things that are supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach and the person. To think that something that was supposed to be eaten by the Mizbeach is instead going to be eaten by a person or vice versa. Rabbi Eliezer would hold that is that in the next parak that does in fact make it pigul. The Tanan, as we learn in the next parak, in the Mishnah in the next parak, Ashoichet as a zevach, lechol davashen daukel lechol, person shechts a korban having in mind to eat something which is not normally eaten, so for example, the emorim, lahakter davashen daukel lahakter, or to burn something which is not normally supposed to be burnt, for example, the meat of the korban, kosher, then the korban is kosher because the chachamim hold that you can't be mechashev from one to the other. It would have to be that he has in mind to burn the emurim outside of the proper time or to eat the meat outside of the proper time. So the chachamim say that a thought to eat the emurim or to burn the meat is neither, so therefore it's kosher. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says it would be posel. So if it was chutz from the koyim, it would be posel, and if it was chutz from mano, it would be pickle. So therefore, so Shmuel says, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Eliezer, and that explains why, if he has in mind on the Ur Alya, yes, the Ur Alya is meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but nevertheless, together with the rest of the Alya, but nevertheless, if he has in mind to eat it, then like Rabbi Eliezer says, it would still make the program fossil or pigle as the case may be. However, the Gemara says, the Mayur came to Rabbi Eliezer, so what are you telling me then, that our Mishnah, you're going to say, goes like Rabbi Eliezer, Ema Sefa, but look at the continuation of the Mishnah. It continues, Zahflau, The next Mishnah, or as usual, the Gemara will often assume that the Mishnayos following one another in the same parak, at least, are all part of one continuum, and we would assume they were all taught by the same Tana. And we learn in the next Mishnah, Shechet as a Zevach Lechol Dovah She'en Da'at Lechol, Zaklal, the general rule is called Shechet Amakabel V'amolech V'azorit, anybody who does any of the four main avodas, Lechol Dovah She'en Da'at Lechol, having in mind some about the eating of something which is meant to be eaten, that it's going to be beyond the proper time, or to burn what is supposed to be burnt, the emurim, then if he has it with machsheves zman, then it's going to be pigul. Now, davar shedaker lechol ein, shein daker lechol loy. So now we're saying that next Mishnah says clearly that only the things that are meant to be eaten would be subject to, would, if he has in mind that he's going to eat them beyond the time, then we have pigul. But Shane Dauker Lefaloy, it's not something that's meant to be eaten. If it was the Imurim, then not, then it wouldn't pass. So Asal Rabbanon. That part goes according to Rabbanon. Reishin of Eliezer, a safer Rabbanon. Are you going to say that the Reisha is, according to, as according to Rabbi Eliezer, our mission as according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the very next mission as according to the Rabbanon? So Shmuel says, yeah. Shmuel says that our mission is like Rabbi Eliezer, and the next one is like the Chachamim. It's not such a problem to do. Tosfos points out that later on, at the end of our parak, we're going to talk about the possibility that another Mishnah in our parak is like Rabbi Eliezer, and then it would make the question even bigger. You're going to have our Mishnah, and the later Mishnah, the last Mishnah, is like Rabbi Eliezer, and the middle one is like the Chachamim. We don't usually do that, but right now, we're not obligated to accept that. And that's an opinion of Rabbi Yirmiya, who learns at the end of our parak that a Mishnah there is like Rabbi Eliezer, but Shmuel was not obligated to accept that. He can say that only our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the rest of the Mishnayos in the parak are according to the Chachamim. No big deal. Okay. So that's one answer. Rav Huna gives a second answer. Or Alya lav to Alya. Rav Huna says, never mind that. The answer is that the skin of the Alya, your premise is wrong. You Makshin had the question, you assume that the skin of the Alya is exactly like the Alya. It's not necessarily so. The skin of the Alya is not like the Alya. And therefore, so you don't have to burn it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, it is meant to be eaten by people. Omar Rava, my time of the Rav Huna, and Rava explains, why does Rav Huna say that?
Right.
Right. So Rava says, so Omar Rava, my time of the Rav Huna, where does Rav Huna get that from, that is not considered to be like the Alya? Because the Pasuk says, Chel Boy Ha'Alya. The Pasuk says, it's fact, the Alya. And it says, Chel. So that means not the skin of the Alya. So therefore, according to him, the answer is very simple. The Mishnah is in fact points to Chachamim, and the Alya is in fact meant to be eaten and not meant to be burned at all. The Tzayin Kodshin, one of the major Mefarshim on our Masechta, makes an interesting point. Actually, he brings in his Pirush that even Rav Huna is saying that it's not considered like the skin of the Alya regarding Pigul. He would say as far as Tumah, as we're going to discuss soon, it is considered again soft and then meaty, and therefore the skin, and therefore you could eat it. But he holds as far as Pigul, that not. Meanwhile, he would say that having in mind about the Alya is not going to be enough to make is not going to be enough to make the Korban Pigul. A number of Achronim ask on the certain Tadshim on that. They say what is he talking about? The Rashash, even one of the Forshim in the back of the Gemara, calls this Rogam Dolam. This is a big mistake. How could he say that? Ravona is here to explain the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is clearly saying that with the skin of the Alya, you could have a thought of eating it or burning it, as the case may be, beyond the time, is going to make the Korban Pasul. So what on earth does the Tzayin Kodshim mean? So I heard him talk about and explain that the Tzayin Kodshim is basically saying that what he's saying is precisely that. It's not burnt. Because when he says that it's not like the Alya, as far as Pigul, he means, in other words, Fakirik. He means that it could cause Pigul when you have a thought about it, precisely because it's not burnt together with the tail. And the question would be then, in that case, then the Tzayin Kodshim is just trying to explain, well, if the Gemara is going to tell us soon that the skin of the tail of the Alya is soft, then Taka, why shouldn't it be considered completely like part of the tail and be like part of the Alya and be burnt on the Mizbeach? And therefore, the Tzayin Kodshim is saying that there's a difference between the meat of it, between the definition of meat, where it's considered like part of the meat, versus the definition of the emurim, where it's still considered, but it's not considered part of the emurim because you don't normally eat the skin. You don't normally eat the skin of the alya. It's a bit of a dosa, but that's how they explain it. So Rav Huna is saying the second answer. So first, again, we have so far two answers. Shmuel is saying that on Mishnah, which says that if he has in mind to eat the ura alya, then it can become pigul, is a point to Rabbi Eliezer, because even though the Ora Alya is meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Eliezer would hold that if he has in mind about something that's meant to be burnt, that should be eaten instead by a person, then it can make it possible or pigul. Chachamim would disagree with that. Rav Huna says that it's just a difference of that the skin of the Alya is in fact not like the Alya. So Rav Chista gives a third answer. We could say that our original assumption was correct. The skin of the Alya is considered like the Alya. Because the Mishnah is talking about the tail of a goat. Now a sheep stores a lot of fat in its tail and it's considered a delicacy and it's burnt on the Mizbeach, etc. But with a goat has a normal sized tail. There's no breeds of goat that stool sat in their tails. And in fact, when the Torah lists by a goat, when it lists the morim, it does not mention the tail. So therefore, our Mishnah, when it talks about eating, about planning to eat the skin of the tail, then we're talking about an animal where the tail wouldn't have been brought as a korban, where the korban wouldn't have been brought burnt on the mizbeach in the first place. Okay. So we have three different answers to explain our Mishnah. Now, why does each of the Amoraim choose a different answer? Kulu k'shmul le'amri. Rav Huna and Rav Chista do not want to accept Shmuel's answer. Because Reisha Rav Eliezer, Rav Sefer Rabbanon might me. They don't want to have to say that one part of the Mishnah is like Rav Eliezer, and the next one, which again, the next Mishnah, which is considered part of this one, should be like the Rabbanon. That's a good thing to do that, so they'd prefer not to do this. So therefore, they don't want to accept. Shmuel and the Chista do not want to accept Rav Huna's answer because Aliyah Kaliyah jumbled from Ashmalahu. They hold that yes, the skin of the Aliyah has to be considered like the Aliyah. Rav Huna's explanation is predicated on the idea that the skin of the Aliyah is not like the Aliyah, and they say we can't accept that. So the Aliyah should be considered like the Aliyah, just like we're going to say soon that it's considered part of the flesh of the Aliyah insofar as the dinim of food of Tumas Lechem. Okay, could have chista my time alone. Why do Shmuel and Rav Huna not want to accept Rav Chista's answer that the Mishnah is talking about a tail that's not brought as a korban and that's not brought on the mizbeach, namely the tail of a goat? Because they would say that the answer is my kamash malon. Well, then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Of course, if it's not part of their modem, if it's part of what a person eats. Then, or Aliyah Ka'aliyah dummy, after all, if we accept that the skin of the Aliyah is like an Aliyah, what would the Mishnah be telling us? What would be the Chiddush? The Chiddush would be, or Aliyah Ka'aliyah dummy. We're going to argue that the Chiddush is precisely this point. The skin of the Aliyah is considered like the Aliyah. You don't need that. Tanaina, we learn on Mishnah and Fulin, when it talks about the dinim of Tumas Oichlin, when it mentions the Elu Shel Rasein Kivsan, the following cases, the skin is considered like the flesh. Normally we say the skin is not considered like the flesh because again, the skin of an animal is very tough and hard to eat, hard or impossible to eat. So usually it doesn't count as part of the flesh. As far as tumah, the most you have is the Mishnah talks about over there. Sometimes you can have when you have a piece of meat and you have skin on top of it. The skin is considered a shomer. The skin is considered a shomer because it'll protect the meat, and therefore it can be considered towards the kazayas or whatever it is of the shear that's needed for tumah. But it itself by itself would not be makabel tumah. Because not meat. But then the Mishnah says there are a number of cases where the skin is considered like the meat because it's soft and it can be eaten just like meat. And one of them is the Torah Shetachas Aliyah. One of them is the skin under the Aliyah. Which that's the skin that we're talking about over here. We don't mean the skin on the outer part of the Aliyah. Because the whole time we've been discussing the fact that it's edible, only the skin on the underside of the Aliyah is like that, is soft and edible. So we already know that from that Mishnah. So the other Amoraim, Shmuel and Rav Huna said, there's no reason to learn our Mishnah like Rav Chista, that the Mishnah just wants to inform us that when it comes to the Aliyah, there's a difference to that the skin of it would be considered, the skin of the Aliyah of a goat would be considered like the flesh, and therefore that a person would be chayav for having in mind to eat chutz manoi, because it would be considered piggle. There's no chiddush in that. We already know from that Mishnah in Cholin that skin is considered like the flesh. So Rav Chista would answer back. He would say there's still a reason to have to mention it over here as well. Sakhadad Chamina, after all, otherwise you would think, based on Mishnah and Fulin, Kani Nili Le'inin Tuma. Fine, you would say as far as Tuma Katara, you would say Rakis Mitzarif, because it's soft, then therefore it can combine together with the meat and make up the shield for Tuma. Aval hocha, but over here when it comes to kachim ema, you would think it shouldn't be considered like the meat. It shouldn't be considered something edible because the pasuk says l'moshva. The pasuk says about the matnas kahuna that they're given l'moshva, which means l'gdula, which means for greatness. L'moshva really means for anointment because you anoint somebody when you're raising them to an elevated position. So therefore, l'moshva means that the matnas kahuna are given into that the kohenim eat are meant to be eaten in a way of gedula, of the way that great prominent people eat. Kedel sham malachim oichlim, the way that kings eat. The fact is, kings, even though the skin of the aliyah is salt, nevertheless, kings don't usually eat it. So emolois, you would think maybe it's not considered davar shadavka lechol because since we're talking about korban over here, maybe after all, when you're eating the korban, it's not, it wouldn't be the mashkal adora to eat it, kamash malan, and therefore the Mishnah needs to tell us that nevertheless you do, that nevertheless it is considered something edible, and therefore, when it comes to the alya of a sheep, where that's offered on the Mizbeach, then Rav Chista says, was saying, fine, according to the Chachamim, it can't cause people a thought about eating it, because the fact is that it's meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. When it comes to a goat, where anyway, it's not burnt on the Mizbeach, and therefore it is in fact edible, so even though you're going to argue, but maybe not, maybe it's not Lamoshka, nevertheless, we ignore that point, and we say the fact is it is edible, and therefore, you have, that he's thinking about a Chilas Adam, he's thinking about a Kazayas, or something that could be eaten by a person, and therefore that can make the Korban people. This Fasemis points out, by the way, the other way around. If you only said it over here, if it only made this point over here, you would say, on the other hand, no, fine, by carbonus, you want to eat as much as possible and not leave over any of it as noiser. But you wouldn't know that in other contexts it's considered like the flesh, and therefore, in fact, it needs to tell it both here and in Poland. So Rav Chista is not bothered by the fact that the Mishnah is repeating it, because according to him, there's a chiddush in each place. Okay. The Gemara goes on. Maisvi, then I have a contradiction. So you're telling me, Rav Chista, here we have our initial assumption was that the skin of the alya counts like the alya. And then we have Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah had followed that, and therefore he was forced to say that our Mishnah is only appointed of Eliezer, because otherwise the skin is burnt, because the skin is meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Rav Chista also had taken the view that the skin of the alya is considered like the alya, and therefore he has to distinguish between a sheep and a goat. Rav Huna was the one who said that the skin of the alya is not like the alya, and therefore the Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah wants to stress that exact point for us. So now the question is, so the Gemara says Meisi, then I have a contradiction on Rav Chista. Well, on this idea that he says that the skin of the alya is considered like the alya. A brisa says a shechet as the oila lahakter kezayis and osha tach as the alya chutz from a kohen. Person shechets an oila having in mind to burn a kezayis of the skin from the underside of the alya. It's chutz from a kohen, right? Outside the proper place, outside the ezara. Possible rain by forest, and as usual with any thought of chutz from a kohen, it's possible there's no forest. Chutz is mani pigul b'chayyavin al forest, but if it was chutz is mani, then it would be pigul and it would be chayyav forest. But the brisa continues. Elazar ben Yehuda ish Avelim oimim meshum Reb Yaakov. Elazar ben Yehuda from Avelim, that was the name of the town he came from, says in the name of Reb Yaakov. V'chein hoy Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish Kfar Ikus oimim meshum Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda from Kfar Ikus similarly said in the name of Reb Shimon that it's not only the skin under the alya. Echad herb based parasus. Now you have in that Mishnah in Chulin, when it lists the various skins that are soft and chewable and are considered like the flesh, then the Mishnah actually gives a whole list of areas of skin that have the same din. So they say in the name of Rabbi Yaakov and the name of Shimon, echad herb based parasus, whether you're talking about the skin on the legs directly above the hooves, a base behemadaka of a small animal, sheep or a goat. Various unfortunately take out the word behemadaka over here. It might apply to a behemagasa as well. The skin, directly of the skin on the lowest part of the leg, above the hooves, is fairly soft. So whether that, the echot or harosh shall egal arach, or whether you're talking about the skin of the head of a young calf, where the calf is newborn and the skin of its head is still soft, the echot or shkach is a alya, or the skin on the underside of the alya, the chol shemono v'chamim gabit tumah, the elu shal esen kivsonim, and in fact anything that's listed in that Mishnah in Chulin regarding saying that skins are considered like the flesh, and the Gemara interjects that means lahavi or shal besam boshes, that comes to include also the skin around the private parts of a female animal. So we didn't mention it clearly because we were talking about an oila, and oila has to be a male animal, so therefore there was no sense in mentioning something that applies only to a female, but nevertheless this din would still apply to other things outside of an oila, carbonus that can be brought from females. Anyway, all of those, if he has in mind with any of those, having in mind to burn one of them outside the Azara, possible to aim at Paris, and possible to be no Paris, so if there's not, Pigol, if you have another Paris, and if it's Chutzman, then Pigol and Paris will apply to him. So now, Now, Mishnah, now the Braisa had spoken specifically of an Ola, implying Ola Ein, that would apply by an Ola, because by an Ola, everything is burnt on the Mizbeach, even the parts that normally would be edible. It sounds like Aval Zevach Loit. It sounds like any other Thoven, which is meant to be edible, than none. So So we understand the point of Huna, that would be why it speaks specifically of an Ola, because only... Because according to him, according to him, normally the skin of the alya would be stripped off and it would be eaten together with the rest of the korban. Only in this case, but only in the case of an ola, is it burnt completely together with the korban, and therefore thought of burning it is a thought of achilas mizbeach, a thought of chutzis mana on something which is meant for achilas mizbeach, which he's actually planning to burn on the mizbeach outside the time, and therefore that's pivotal, and therefore koris. According to the chista, why bother? Why specifically mention ola? Instead, use the word zevach, which would mean any korban. Tosfos points out, first of all, if you look in Tosefta, you will in fact find that it says Zevach over there, but Rav Huna would say, fine, that version of that says Zevach would be specifically according to Eliezer, like we said before. Similarly, Tosfos points out, Shmuel wouldn't be bothered by this question either, because according to him, if it said Zevach, then it would mean specifically according to Eliezer. So the question is strictly on Rav Chista. The question is strictly on Rav Chista, where he says that the skin is like the alya. Well, in that case, then why are we singling out an ola and saying only there we have in mind to burn it beyond the proper time? That would apply to any korban from a sheep, where the entire alya is burnt, skin, according to him, skin and all. The answer is Amalach Rav Chista, Ibari Sein of Alya Shanti. Again, one possibility is the Braisa could be talking about the skin of a goat, so therefore, and that's not part of the Imurim, so therefore the Braisa has to specifically focus on saying Ola, because otherwise, if it said Zevach, then the din wouldn't apply, because with other kinds of Kormonas, that skin is not offered, and the tail as a whole is not offered. Ibari Sein of Tony Zevach, another possibility, Rav Chista says, fine, the correct version of the Braisa should in fact be the one with the word Zevach rather than Ola. So he's not so bothered by that either. Okay. So at this point, the Gemara drops the issue. So finally, we have three different ways of understanding our Mishnah. That I'm in the end, passing like Rav Huna, that Urha Alya, Lavka Alya, dummy. And therefore, that means that, the skin of the Alya is in fact meant to be eaten. It's not meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and therefore we just take our Mishnah straightforwardly that if he has in mind now to eat a kazayis of that skin, chutz l'makomo, then it'll be possible, and chutz l'zmane will be people. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, posel v'ein bekoris. The Mishnah had said that in the case of a thought of chutz l'makomo, then the korban is posel, but there's no koris, but if he has in mind chutz l'zmane, then it's pigul and there's koris. So, where do we know this from? Here we're going to start getting into this basic concept. Where do we know the whole concept of pigul from? What do we know the definition of pigul from, and why it's different than chutz l'makomo? So, you have to realize, says Shmuel, there are two psukim that are written in this connection. Let's first read off both psukim, and then we'll be analyzing them in great detail. The first pasuk comes from Parshas Tzav. It says, If there is eating from the meat of the korban of his shlomim on the third day, remember shlomim is meant to be eaten only for 2 days and the night in between, lo yerotze, it will not be accepted. Hamakriv oisei lo yechotchev lo, the one who offered this korban, it will not be counted for him. Pigul yeh, it will be pigul. Ha'nefesh ha'chelos imenu ha'vonatisa, and anybody who eats from that korban will bear his guilt. That's the pasuk in Parashat Tzav. The Gemara further on is going to call it Kro Arichre. It's going to call it the long pasuk. So now on the surface, the pasuk is talking about actually eating from the korban on the third day. However, the Gemara is going to explain soon enough that it can't mean that, because then how could it be saying Lo Yerotza, the korban will not be acceptable once the blood was sprinkled? Then that's it. The korban is kosher. It can't retroactively become possible because somebody ate from it beyond the time. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is going to end up explaining, that we have to understand that it means he had in mind to eat it past the proper time. So, So that's one point, and we'll see in the Gemara as we go through various other points about it. So that's the long pasuk. Then we have a short pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim where it says, "V'im ha'ochol ya'ochol b'shishi." If it's eaten on the third day, pigul hu lo yerotza. It's pigul that will not be acceptable. So we're going to see in the Gemara what each of them refers to. So Amar Shmuel Trei Kroy Ksivi. So there are two relevant pasukim. So the Gemara says, "Ma'idi." What are the two pasukim? Amar Rabba. So like this. First, you have the pasuk from Parashas Tzav, long pasuk. Now. So when it says shlishi, when it says that the korban is eaten on the third day, again, it doesn't literally mean that the korban is actually eaten on the third day, because then not literally eaten on the third day, because then there's no way that retroactively it's going to become possible. Means chutz manai, means he has in mind to eat it on. He has in mind to eat it on the third day, which is beyond the time. When the pasuk later on continues pigul, when it says pigul, that means zel chutz l'mekoymai. So it doesn't mean what we usually think of as pigul. That is defined as chutz l'zmanai, but rather the word pigul in the pasuk here actually means chutz l'mekoymai, means that he has in mind to eat it or burn it outside the proper place. Because in other words, the words pigul hu are in the are extra in the pasuk. Rashi points out, now what about, you have many other psalim throughout this parak, we've been dealing with many other psalim, why don't we assume that it's referring to one of those, but we would assume that it's something as close as possible to chutzah zmanai. So the pasuk, after all, is starting to talk about chutzah zmanai, so we would assume it's in a way chutzah zmanai and chutzah mekoymai have this in common. They're both outside of something. One is outside in space and one is outside in time, but therefore they're very similar. But other than that, let's say, for example, we're not going to say that the pasuk is referring to a case, let's say, where the blood was spilled, or he plans to spill the blood, or he plans to mix it with possible blood or other things like that, because those are not at all similar to chutz manai, right? And there's no reason to think that the pasuk is marba then. So therefore, so far we have shlishi means chutz manai, pigul means chutz manai, right? And the pasuk continues, la nefesh chelas mimenu. The pasuk says anybody who eats from it will bear their guilt. So what does that mean? Zeh chutz manai, right? So, when it says the person who eats from it, mimenu, is a meat, it means echad v'loshnayim. Of the two things that we just discussed, only one of them are subject to kares. Zeu chutz manai, or ma'uti chutz mekaymai. So therefore, we say that the nefesh echelos mimenu means to tell us that only chutz manai is chayiv kares for eating if that's pigle, or ma'uti chutz mekaymai, but excluding chutz mekaymai, person eats from a korban that was shechted, or whatever the avodah was done, chutz mekaymai will not be chayiv kares. So the Gemara says, why? The aim of our nefesh echelos mimenu zeu chutz mekaymai, or ma'uti chutz manai. Maybe the other way around. Maybe it's telling us that a person is chayiv kares for chutz mekaymai and not for chutz manai. And the answer is mistabra, chutzah zmanai odif. It's more logical to say that chutzah zmanai is stronger and should get a stronger punishment than pasuk bei, because the pasuk began by talking about it. He started by saying vayom hashlishi, which we're saying refers to chutzah zmanai. Later on, it says tigul yeah, and then when it says v'nefesh achelas v'menem, we assume it refers back to the beginning of the pasuk. But the Gemara says adar abah chutzah mekoymei odif. On the contrary, you could argue that chutzah mekoymei should be stronger. Because it's closer to it, because here you have, first it talks about chutzah zmanai, then chutzah mekoymai, and then if it's about nefesh echelos mimenu, so mimenu would refer to the last name thing, which would be chutzah mekoymai. So that doesn't work. That's not a valid way of saying, therefore, that we can say that chutzah zmanai is chayiv kares, becomes pigle and is chayiv kares, and chutzah mekoymai is not. Based on that possibility, you could equally well learn it the other way around. So El Amar Abaya, so rather Abaya says, no, here's how we learn it. The author of Yitzchok Barav Dini Omar, when Rav Yitzchok Barav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Rav Samech, he said, Rav, or Shitron Gobetzel says a Gir said Rabba. So in that case, then Rabba himself changed his mind. Before Rabba had brought the drasha from Shlishi and Pigel, now Rabba himself would be relying on Samech Adotonitan. He would be relying on what it says in a Brais, like his father. So, the Brisa says, "Kru omer shlishi b'parshas kedoshim to you." And parshas kedoshim again it mentions shlishi. So what are we learning from that, as opposed to the pasuk from Tzav? Sha'im tamad loyma. Now it didn't need to say shlishi over there. Shadik kvanemu b'imachol yochum v'sav zevach hashlamim b'yem hashlishi. Everybody says, everybody talks about if he eats from the korban on the third day. Everybody talks about that in parshas Tzav. And we already learned there again that doesn't mean that the korban is actually eaten on the third day, because that wouldn't possible the korban retroactively. So we already know, says the Braisa, from the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, in Parshas Tzav, that to have in mind to eat it on the third day makes it pickle. So why does it repeat that point in Parshas Kedoshim? So we have to say, in Eina Inyan L'chutz Zmanei, since we don't need it to teach us about L'chutz Zmanei, because we already know it, from the Parshin, from the Pasuk, and Parshas Tzav, from the long Pasuk, Tenei Inyan L'chutz Zmanei, then instead apply it to L'chutz Zmanei, and say, therefore, so in other words, we're going to say that, so it's going to be like this thing. We're going to say the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim that says, that talks about Bayeim HaShlishi, we're going to take it and we're going to reuse it instead, not for Chutz L'Zmanei because we already have that, but rather for Chutz L'Zmanei. However, now, what about the fact that Rashi points out that the pasuk continues? The pasuk continues. It says anybody who eats from it is going to be getting kares. Now, if we're saying that it's talking about chutz l'makoma, we've been talking all this time. There's no kares for chutz l'makoma. Rashi says that part of the pasuk is actually talking about noiser. It's actually talking about noiser, about the actual leftover of a korban. So the pasuk in Kedoshim is talking about chutz l'makoma. However, then the pasuk continues. However, then the pasuk continues in connection with noiser and says the one who eats from it is going to bear his guilt. Is going to be chayav karis, meaning so only it. So therefore, it's coming to exclude chutz l'makoma. So in other words, the flow is as follows. In Parshas Tzav, we have a pasuk that says if he has in mind Bayim HaShlishi, Lo Yeritza, that's talking about pig. So we're not going to say that anything in that pasuk is talking about Chutz L'Makoyim. Before we tried to say that it does, but then we shot that down. No, we're going to say the pasuk in Tzav is entirely about Chutz L'Zmanei, about pig. Now, the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, the short pasuk, we're saying there's going to be two things. First of all, it's going to be telling us chutz l'makoma. We're going to take, even though it says bayom hashlishi, we're going to reuse it instead. But im eini inu lozeh, tnei inu lozeh, and tell us that it teaches us about chutz l'zmanei. Then it's going to continue with actual noiser, where he actually left it over to the third day and then ate it. And then the pasuk says he is chayav paris for it. It meaning for noiser, not for chutz l'makoma. Okay, the question is the aim of Va'ofla Va'oni Yisa is that Va'ofla Va'oma will want to know some Karis, maybe the other way around. Maybe the Va'ofla Va'oni Yisa, maybe the fact that it's telling him he's going to get Karis is talking about where he eats a korban that was shechted Chutz L'Zmanei, that was shechted with the intention of Chutz L'Zmanei, and on the contrary, that Noisa would not be five Karis. So that way also Rashi says this way it also benefits for us that ein mikriya. Now you could argue, in other words, that you could argue, what do you mean ein mikriya to midei pshuta? The fact is, the simple meaning of the pasuk is talking about noser, about leaving it over for the third day. So you would say, okay, you would say that fine. It means that noser lo yerotza, that it's not acceptable by Hashem to. You would argue that maybe it would. You would say fine, lo yerotza is not going to apply because it's already a few days after the program was brought. It can't retroactively become possible. But maybe at least we would have to say that he would be chayav koris, and then the oif lo, the one who eats it, would be mamayat that, and we'd have to say that it means dafka if he eats one, that he's one of them. But how do you know the one is noiser? Maybe the one is chutz l'makoma. So the answer is mistabra noiser havele la'ukmei b'koris. It's more logical to say that if a person eats actual noiser, he's going to be chayav koris, because that way l'migma oven l'chutz l'zmanei d'domi le'bizov. Because that way, that allows us to use the gzeira shava of avoin. We have over here the word va'onklai avoinu yisa, and the pasuk in Parashat Tzav also says avoinu tisa. And this way, we can use that gzeira shava to tell us about chutz l'zmanei that it will be chayav koris. And this way, in other words, we'll end up saying that both noiser and kigel chutz l'zmanei are both chayav koris, and that has the advantage to domi le bizov, because they both have two things in common which we can use the mnemonic, the abbreviation zov for zman and bama. Both of them have to do with time. Chutzmane is he has in mind to do something with the korban beyond the proper time. Noiser is he actually eats it after the proper time. And both of them apply to a bama, as opposed to both of them apply to a korban that's brought on a bama during the periods of Jewish history when you were allowed to bring korbanos on bamas. So therefore, so if so, so like this, if we say If we say that this Pasuk in Kedoshim is referring to Noisa and saying that it's Chayiv Karis, then good, that allows us to take the Gzeira Shava of Ovon and also use it for, and also use it for Pigle and say that that's Chayiv Karis as well, and that would be logical to do since they have, since they do have these two things in common. As opposed to, if you were to say that Karis refers to Chutz Mekomei, then what do you mean? Then how are you going to, how are you going to apply it to Pigle? After all, Chutz Mekomei has nothing to do with time, and it's not, and Chutz Mekomei does not apply by a Bama, because by a Bama there's no Mechitzes around it to say that if you do it outside of this area, it should be possible. So therefore, so it's more logical to say, given that we want to be able to use that Zera Shava to say that Pigle is high of Karis, then therefore that means necessarily the only thing we can compare it with is Noser, which also has those similarities of Zman and Bama. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos has a couple of questions on Rashi, one of them being that's kind of circular argument over here. We're trying to point out over here, we're what are we saying over here? You want to say that this pasuk is talking about Noser in order to use this Gzeira Shava of Oven and use it for Chutz Lizmanei, but that itself is what we're trying to prove over here, that Chutz Lizmanei is Chayiv Karis. So Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi's explanation. So rather, Tosfos explains that what it means is like this. We know that there's a Gzeira Shava of the word Ovein. What is this Gzeira Shava going to teach? We know that Gzeira Shava exists. What is the Gzeira Shava going to teach us? It's more logical that it teaches us that two things that are more similar to one another, namely Noiser and Pigel, are both going to be Chayiv Karis, and not Chutz Mekomei, which again is not really in the same category. So that's how Tosfos is. So again, in other words, Rashi is saying that we need to say that it's referring to Noiser in order to be able to use the Gzeira Shava for this purpose. And Tosfos says that no, it means just that we know we have to use the Gzeira Shava, and therefore it's more logical that one end of the Gzeira Shava refers to something which is as similar as possible to Pigel, namely Noiser. There are Achronim who discuss what Rashi, how we would find for Rashi, that if you say the Pasuk is talking about Chutz Mekomei, then what are we going to, we wouldn't know when we have the Gzeira Shava, which one are we going to learn from, Chutz Mekomei or Chutz Mekomei or Truma is another factor as well, another possibility as well as Truma, and we would have no reason to prefer over one over the other, so therefore it has to be that the Torah is telling us that it's referring to Noiser, and therefore that makes it clear now we're learning from Noiser, we're not going to learn from Chutz Mekomei. However, the Gemara asks, Abadabi Chutz Mekomei Havle Le'utman B'Koyos. On the contrary, you should argue that Chutz Mekomei should be the one that is Chayiv Karis. L'migma oven L'Chutz Lizmanei. And we'll use that as the other end of the Gzeira Shava as far as Chutz Lizmanei. The Jomulei B'Nikdash. And we have more similarities, in fact, between Chutz Mekomei and Chutz Lizmanei. And the initials for them are Mikdash. They both involve Machshava, as opposed to Noiser wasn't a Machshava, it's just they left it over. Kuf stands for Ksas. It applies even to only a little bit of it. Because again, as we said in the Mishnah, whether we had in mind to eat all of the meat or only some of it, or to burn all the Emurim or only some of them, outside Chutz Lizmanei or Chutz Mekomei, then and the whole thing becomes possible, whereas with Noiser, not. Whatever was left over becomes possible, but whatever was already eaten is not possible. Dalad stands for Dam, they both have to do with the avodah of the blood. And the Shin stands for Shlishi, that by both of them, it's a Shlishi, as opposed to Tuma. So, as opposed to Tuma, which is, you have another place where it says Oven in connection with Tuma. But there's no kodesh for eating meat of kodshim that's tameh. So therefore, so that's what we're asking. What are we going to learn from that? But you could argue then that if you're going to learn, so on the contrary, you should say the pasuk is not talking about noiser at all. It's talking about chutz lizmanei versus tuma. And you're going to say that when I say chutz lizmanei is chayiv kodesh, you're going to argue it's not similar to chutz lizmanei. It is. It's similar in those four ways. As opposed to tuma is not similar to any of them, and noiser is not similar to any of them. By noiser, fine, it says shlishi, but there it needs to actually say shlishi, because otherwise you don't know when it becomes noiser. So why don't we say then, and then in that case, we should say the Pasuk in Kedoshim is in fact referring to primarily to Chutz Mekomei, right? And saying that it is in fact Chayiv Karis, as opposed to Noser and as opposed to Tumah. Elam Rabbi Yechon, so no. So Rabbi Yechon says, fine, we can't say, so why do we have to say that? That Horis refers specifically to Chutzpah's Manai and to Noiser, and not to Chutzpah Mekremai. So Elam Rabbi Yechon, Tony Zabdi Balevi, Asir Kodesh Kodesh. We have another Gzeira Shavah on the word Kodesh. Here it says he desecrated the holy thing of Hashem and therefore his five parties. Elsewhere it says that you should burn what's left over of the korban in fire, and it also says that you shouldn't eat it. So that means the pasuk here in Kedoshim is in fact referring to Noser. You can't say that it's referring to Tumah, you have to say that it's referring to Noser. So then again, you're going to say that the Torah says, the one who eats it will bear his guilt. That means as opposed to Chutz HaMekomai. So the one who eats it, Noiser, is going to be Chayiv Karis. The one who eats Chutz HaMekomai is not going to be Chayiv Karis. So the Gemara says, so that's a way of doing it. So in other words, we have a couple of different Gzeira Shavas over here. We have the Gzeira Shava on Kodesh, which teaches us that in both places we're dealing with Noser. We have a Gzeira Shava of Oven, which teaches us, therefore, that there's Kares, where there's Kares by Noser, there's also Kares by Chutzpah's Manai, by Tigel. And we, on the other hand, we have the Oich Lov to teach us in Kedoshim, which teaches us that only of the two that I mentioned, of Sukkim over there, Noser and Chutzpah Mekomai is not five Kares, only Noser is. So the Gemara asks, "My choses to kra richa b'chutzas manai u'shlishi de parshas kedoshim kiu chutz makayim." Right? Fine, but what tells you then that the long pasuk in Tzav is talking about chutzas manai, and the one which mentions shlishi in parshas kedoshim is talking about chutz makayim, right? And that's what's leading you to say, therefore, that there's a miut in the pasuk that chutz makayim is not chayav kares. Eipochana, flip it around. So why don't we say it the other way around? The one in Sav is talking about Chutz HaMekomai, right? And the one in Kedoshim is talking about Chutz HaZmanai. And then it would mean, in that case, then we would say, fine, Miut in the Pasuk, for Oich Lov, Avonei Yisa, would tell us there's no Kores for Chutz HaZmanai, but there is Kores for Chutz HaMekomai by virtue of the Gzeira Shava on the word Avonei. Tosfos actually wonders about that. The only reason we had to say that the one in Kedoshim is referring to Chutz Manai, to Chutz HaMekomai, is because even though it says Shlishi, is because we already had a pasuk that mentioned Vayim HaShlishi in Sav, and that tells us Chutz Manai, so therefore we have no choice but to use this one for Chutz HaMekomai. But if it was the other way around, why would we do that? We would say first the Torah has to tell us about the concept of Chutz Manai, and then we can use another pasuk for something else that's similar for Chutz HaMekomai. So Tosfos says, would you have to say, maybe it might be a derichet, but you might have to say that the Gemara at this point is assuming ein mukdum u'chabat Torah, that sukkim are not necessarily written in chronological order, and in fact the pasuk and parashas Kedoshim might have been said first, and therefore that would refer to Chutz HaZmanai, and then you would say, well, now you have a pasuk in parashas Kedoshim, now Chutz HaZmanai, and you have a second pasuk in parashas Tzav, which let's say was said later, that also refers to Bayam HaShlishi, then you're going to say it's talking about Chutz HaMekomai. So maybe you should have to say that, was the question. And the answer is, Misabra Aricha b'chutz HaZmanai, it's more logical that the long pasuk in Sad is referring to Chutz HaZmanai, the Gama oven we know, so the Gama like the Zog. Because as we just said, it is similar to Noiser in two ways, in that they both have to do with the Zman, and they both apply even by a Bama, even by Korban brought by a private Bama, which Chutz HaMekomai, neither of those is true of Chutz HaMekomai, right? So therefore, so we would have to say, given that we know there's a Gzeira Shava on the word Ovein, then that would require us to say that therefore since you have this Gzeira Shava on the word Ovein, and since we have to learn from Noiser, and since we have to learn from Noiser, where we know the Torah clearly says by Noiser that it's Chayav Karis, then therefore we have to be able to learn like that. We have to say that if we were to say the pasuk in Sav is referring to Chutz HaMekomai, then you're not going to be able to, then you can't. It's not similar. Chutz HaMekomai is not similar to Noiser in any way. But the question is, still, you could argue the other way around, that the long pasuk in Tzav is talking about Chutz HaMekomai, and the short pasuk that mentions Shlishi in Kedoshim is talking about Chutz HaZmanai, and you could argue, Mishum de Domile, so you could argue that, You could argue that maybe that's maybe precisely the fact, because chutzas mana is similar to noiser in those two ways that we just said, and therefore the Torah would be mamai. Nevertheless, even though they have those two similarities in zman and bama, nevertheless, one of them is chayav paris and the other one is not. So why don't we say that that's what it is? The pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim is referring to chutzas mana and putting it together with noiser to say they have similarities. They're both zayin and they're both beis. Nonetheless, nevertheless, only one who eats one of them, namely noiser, is going to be chayiv karis. And then we would say that pasuk in Parshas Tzav is referring to chutzam kaimai, and the gzeira shava of avoin would tell us that the gzeira shava of the two words avoin in Tzav and in kedoshim would tell us that somebody who eats from chutzam kaimai is chayiv karis. So why can't we say it that way? Ela omar Rava. So rather, Rava says here's how we have to learn it. As a matter of fact, all of them we're going to learn from the long pasuk in Parshas Tzav. We're going to learn both chutzas mana and chutzam kaimai. We're going to learn from the long pasuk in Parshas Tzav, similar to what Rabba had said before. Rabba had started in the Sugya by saying that we learn both chutzas mana and chutzam kaimai from the pasuk in Parshas Tzav, but the Gemara had shot that down because why should we say what? How do we know when it says "Vanefesh Echelus Mena Avonatisa"? How do we know which one of them it refers to? Now, Rav is going to go through the pasuk phrase by phrase and explain how we learn from it all the dinim of pigul, of all the dinim of chutzas mana, of pigul, and of chutzam kaimai. And then later on, we'll talk about so what do we do with the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. So Rava goes like this. Kula mikra abicha askin, we can learn them all from the long pasuk. It goes as follows. Dichtiv ha'ochol ye'ochol. First of all, the pasuk says, v'im ha'ochol ye'ochol, if eating, it is eat. So we learn from that, b'shtei achilos akos medaber. From that we learn, the pasuk is talking about two kinds of eating, two kinds of consumption. Echad achilos adam ve'echad achilos mizbeach. One is that a person eats, one is that the mizbeach eats. So whether the person is having in mind that somebody is going to eat the meat of the korban beyond the proper time, or the mizbeach is going to eat and consume the emurim of the korban, or the blood of the korban beyond the proper time, either of those can make it pickled. The pasuk continues with b'sar zevach shlomav. The pasuk continues from the flesh of his korban shlomim. We learn from that mas shlomim mefaglin umisfaglin. We can learn from that that a shlomim is able to become pigle and is able to cause pigle. Meaning, in other words, that you have in a shlomim you have the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, the emurim are brunt on the mizbeach, and then the meat is eaten. So what we're saying is that during the sprinkling of the blood, he might be having in mind a thought of chutzas mana as far as the emurim to be burnt or the meat to be eaten. That's therefore the blood would be called mefagel. It's the thing that causes the pigle, because it's with the avodah of the blood that he has the thought that makes it pigle. And the result is that the emurim and the meat become pigle. That's called misfaglin, that they become, they're the subject, they're the object of the pigle. Afkol mefaglin and misfaglin, the same way anything that has a mefagel and a misfagel, then pigul will apply to it. As opposed to, for example, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that, for example, Rashi gives a number of examples involving menachas. Pigul can apply to menachas as well. Now, normally with menachas, a regular mincha, you have a misfagel and you have a misfagel, because if he has a thought during one of the avodas of the koimet that he's going to eat the mincha beyond the proper time or burn the koimets beyond the proper time, then it becomes pigul. So you have a mefagel, namely the koimetz, and you have a mefagel, the rest of the mincha. As opposed to, let's say, for example, the minchas chavitin that's brought every day by the kohen gadol, the mincha that a kohen brings any time, the minchas nisachim, all of those are completely offered on the mizbeach. So there's no mefagel or mefagel, and therefore pigul is not subject to those. A person were to take the minchas chavitin, or the mincha of a kohen, or whatever, and go put it on the mizbeach with the thought that some of it is going to be eaten beyond the time, it wouldn't become pigle because it's all meant to be burned on the mizbeach, and there's no part of it that's separated out from any other, unlike with a korban, unlike with an animal or bird korban, and unlike with a regular mincha. So that we learn from the fact that it mentions specifically shlomim. Next, continues Rava, shlishi zachut v'zmanay. When it says shlishi, it means that he has in mind to burn it or eat it on the third day, so that's chut v'zmanay. When it says lo ye rotze, when it says it will not be acceptable, we learn from that, kautzos hosher ken kautzos posel. We learn from that the hautzah, the acceptance of a korban, when is a korban accepted? When the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, what happens with a kosher korban is the same as with a posel one. Namely, that When does a kosher korban become acceptable? When everything that's needed to make it mutter has been placed on the mizbeach. So once the blood has been placed on the mizbeach, now it makes the emurim a mutter to be placed on the mizbeach. And once the emurim are placed, then it's mutter now to eat the meat. So with a kosher korban, that's right. The same way with a korban that became posel, the same way with a korban that became pigle, it will only become pigle when all of matirov will have been brought on the mizbeach. Meaning, in other words, that if he has in mind during the shkita, let's say, also during the kabbalah or whatever, if he has a machshava sinan, it won't yet become pigle until the blood is actually sprinkled on the mizbeach. At that point, it's called that it's nifba. Now it's been established that it's pigle. And therefore, anybody who eats from it is chayav karis. Again, like we talked about before, the Mishnah Lamelach discusses the question, what happens before that? Would he, in fact, be chayav for eating from that korban? Would it at least be considered a posel korban, or maybe not? In any case, we learn that from the word lo yeh. This korban should have been made acceptable by the sprinkling of the blood. Now, instead, the sprinkling of the blood makes it that now it's officially pigle. Next, the pasuk says hamakiv. The pasuk is the one who offers it. From that we learn bakrovo nifsal va'in nifsal v'shlishi. It becomes possible only with something that took place during the offering of the korban, not the actual eating of it on the third day. Now, in other words, how do we know this pasuk is talking about machshava? How do we know it doesn't actually mean if he eats from the korban on the third day? That's why, because it says lo yechoshev. Because it's a makriv, because it says that when he offers it, so it can only become possible or pigle when he's offering. And it's impossible that you brought the korban properly and then you left over some of the meat of it, so the third day, and retroactively the korban will become possible. That doesn't happen. Next, oisoi. The pasuk says it. The pasuk says a makriv oisoi. So what are we learning from the word oisoi? We learn bezevach akosam medaber ve'in medaber v'koyin. The pasuk is referring to the korban becomes possible. It's not referring to the koyin. You shouldn't think that maybe a koyin who had a thought of pigle, maybe lo yechoshim, maybe he won't be counted as a koyin anymore. No, the pasuk is saying amatul oisoi. It's it, the korban that becomes possible, and there's no way of fixing it up. The koyin himself remains a kosher koyin. Rava continues with his drasha when it says lo yechoshim, means lo ya'ar by machshavas achenis. When it says lo yechoshim, he should not think. It is not to be thought, meaning that it can't be that there's any other thought of psul mixed in with it. We're going to have later in our perek, and the next perek, we're going to talk about in detail how, for example, let's say during one of the avodas, he had a thought of chutzah mekoymai, and during a different avoda, he had a thought of chutzah zmanai, then the korban will not be pigle. He had a thought of chutzah zmanai, but there was another psul as well, chutzah mekoymai, and that's enough to make it that prevents it from becoming pigle. We learn that, says Rava, from the word lo yechoshev, that it means the only machshava that makes it pigle is when that's the only machshava, and there was no other wrong machshava that would possibly pass it. Next, Rava continues when it says pigle zechus the mekoyme. When the pasuk continues pigle, this is like Rava, like Rabbi had said, and it's Russia before refers to chutz the mekoyme, because again we don't need the word pigle over here. So therefore, so it teaches us about the related thing of chutz the mekoyme. Again, like Rashi said earlier, it can't be referring to other kinds of psulim because it has to be at least something fairly similar to chutzlizmanai and chutzlizmakaymai do have this both in common, that they're outside of some kind of boundary in time or space, as the case may be. And Rava continues his drasha when the pasuk says yeah, when it says it will be melamet shemitstarfim zeim ze. This teaches us yeah in the singular. That means that they combine together with one another. Chutzlizmakaymai and chutzlizmanai can combine together to pass on a korban in the sense that. We're going to learn later on in our parak that, let's say, on all the days, in fact, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that if he had in mind to eat a half kezias of the meat outside the Azara, if it was a full kezias, that would make it possible. And a half kezias tomorrow, or the next, whatever, the day after tomorrow, as the case may be, which, if it was a full kezias, that would make it pigle. Here, when he has it in mind, half a kezias this and half a kezias of that, that's enough to combine together and make the korban possible. And the pasuk finishes off. Nefesh chelos mimenu. The pasuk says the one who eats from it will bear his guilt. So then we have, so again, mimenu is a meal. Echad v'lo shnayim. Then it means only one of them, not two of them. The eza is a chutz lizmanoi. Which one are we going to say is chayav kares? Is chutz lizmanoi? Now, before we said the problem with that is, didn't we have, on the one hand, the pasuk begins with chutz l'manu, but later on it continues with chutz l'makomai, and how we say, v'hanefesh ha'chalas mimenu, is referring specifically to the beginning of the pasuk, rather than the end of the pasuk. Now, Rav is saying, we don't have that problem, because the gomer oven minoiser, because we learn exeter shava from oven, from the word noiser, where now we're going to say the pasuk in Kedoshim is referring only to noiser. Right now, we're not going to say that's referring to pigel or at all. We'll get back to that point later in tomorrow's Gemara, Best Hashem. But meanwhile, Rava is saying the Pasuk in Kedoshim is definitely referring to Noiser, and it clearly says there that he's Chayiv Paris, the Dami Lebezal. And we're back to the point that we said before, that Noiser and Chutzpah Zmanos are both have the similarity that they both depend on time. They're both something being outside of the proper time, and they both apply in a bama where Chutzpah Mekoyim, and neither one of those is true. So therefore, Rava says, Daushin the Pasuk that way, we do come out that both of them, Chutzpah Zmanos and Chutzpah Mekoyim, are in the Pasuk in Parashat Tzav, and the fact that only one of them is Chayiv Kodesh, though, we can learn by the Gzeirah Shavah of Avoin from Noiser, and therefore now we've covered all our bases. So now the question is going to be what we're going to do with the Pasuk and Parshas Kedoshim, and that will continue in the Gemara tomorrow with that, Hashem.